Hey, brother, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Do you feel like your story is unwritten or ending?
Every day.
Every day? You know what you need to do? Open up the dirty window. Put the light and shine in and illuminate.
Yeah.
So we can listen to it 50 times over and over.
Yeah.
And go get yourself a magic ticket into a world that makes zero sense of the rules. Because we got to experience that with anyone but you in The Last Action Hero. Yep. Those are our two movies today.
Let's get into it.
All right.
All right. What movie do you want to start with?
I will let you. You know what? Let's just start with Anyone But You. Let's just get into that one.
Okay. Because it's the shortest.
I literally have 5 bullet points on this.
Oh my gosh.
Almost have no notes.
Anyone But You. All right.
With Sydney Sweeney and some other dude.
Glenn Powell.
Sure, that's his name.
Hey, that's his name. I just pulled up the cast.
Perfect. I'm going to let you do the synopsis. Before we get into that, I just want to say, here's where I have such a fucking problem with rom-coms. Everyone looks perfect. Everyone is so good looking. And how the hell do you afford a freaking house on the waterfront in Australia? That's what I want to know. What are you doing that I'm obviously not doing? Oh, wait, I became a teacher. That's why. Got it. Never mind. Scratch it. I answered my own question.
Oh,
that's it.
Your teacher friends are going to hear that.
Cut that off. I'm glad that they will agree with me.
They'll be like, yeah. I thought I was changed. Yeah. Oh. That was the biggest lie.
Making a difference.
All right.
My life is a lie.
Yeah. Hey, that's rom-communism. All right. Everything's perfect. Everything works out. There's one problem, but in this movie, Anyone But You, it seems like, you know, it doesn't work out like they fall in love and, you know, one bad thing happens in the movie. It seems like one bad thing happened and they hated each other for the rest of the time. This is how that movie goes. Basically, despite having an amazing first date where they didn't actually hook up with each other and actually, you know, had some, you know, intimacy, they had a bit of miscommunication, and then fast forward, they actually meet each other again through mutual coincidences and happen to be a part of the bridal party in, like Josh said, Australia, which puts these two forced to basically live together, and we get to see how that unfolds by them basically faking a relationship. That's what this movie is. And I'm sorry, but it's like every, you know, rom-com. Yes, they fall in love with each other at the end. It just happens, okay?
Oh my God.
Yeah, everything's perfect. Woo. Everything's fake.
I don't understand what their problem is. If they looked at themselves in the mirror, they're perfect.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have any issues.
No.
I'm going to rant and rave for an hour on this. It just bothers me so much because it's so fucking unrealistic. I'm not speaking as someone like, ooh, boo, love. Like, it's just, I hate rom-coms sometimes so much. And this is one of those that I'm just,
Why? Because everything turned out perfect? So
everything's like, I wrote down like, they're going to end up together. Shocking.
Yeah.
These beautiful people.
Wow. Like, Sydney Sweeney, she's going through a midlife crisis, but she still looks amazing and has a personality. Wow.
Yeah, boo-hoo.
Glenn Powell works out on the beach and he's having.
Yeah, you know what?
F that guy.
I have a problem with that too.
That guy, dude.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
No.
Good for you. You know, any troubles in life, everything's going perfectly. No stressors. No kids.
No, I will say, like, I watched a podcast with the guy from New Girl who plays Winston. And he told a story where he even was just like in real life, not even as an actor, just Glenn Powell as himself. He's just like, F that guy, F Glenn. All right. Just like invited him on a boat with some girls, and he went out swimming to a cave and all the girls followed him. And then he saved somebody from drowning. F that guy. He's a freaking superhero.
Yeah, F that guy.
F that guy. All the girls fell in love with him. No, Glenn Powell is probably...
Must be nice to have good genetics.
Well, you know, I think it's just all in the jawline, honestly. It's just in the jawline.
Yeah, you get paid. If I got paid that kind of money to just do that and to have to look like that, sign me up.
I think you have to already to be able to get paid. So...
No.
You gotta switch it around. You gotta switch it.
Old images of Glenn Powell. I bet you he was fugly.
Okay, hold on.
He was younger.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. This is so off kiltered now. Like, honestly, like anyone but you. Hey, personally, I liked it. There was a few funny jokes. It was entertaining. I'll tell a story of how I watched this the first time, and everybody. It's a sad story, but I laugh at it. But this is so off kiltered.
The entire time I was watching, I was like, what story is Justin going to tell us about this? I'm like, what's the story behind this? Because this is garbage. There was a few funny parts that I kind of laughed at.
Yeah.
The only person I really liked was Gata. Rapper Gata, who I love because he's in the show Dave.
Okay.
I was like, Gata! Quality for me. The brother of the sister.
Mm-hmm.
It was hilarious. I love Gata.
Yeah,
that was the only redeeming. I mean,
there was
an actor that plays Sydney Sweeney's dad. I like him too.
Oh, Kyle MacLachlan.
He's teaching him how to swim.
Yep.
Oh, that's not Kyle MacLachlan, sir. Kyle MacLachlan is.
I'm sorry. I recently watched Fallout. I'm sorry. I get those two mixed up.
I get it. Yeah. They definitely look the same.
It's like facial feature changes and you're there. Honestly, to disappoint you, Josh,
it's understandable.
Glenn Powell has all, yeah, he's always looked good, dude. I'm sorry.
Genetics.
Gosh, dang it. Yeah, hold on.
Fake, real.
You did a
Photoshop
body transition, but this dude's already looking good. Honestly, we're ratting on Glenn Powell. Honestly, probably a
body transition. What? He added an extra ab? That's it?
Yeah. Basically.
Are you kidding me? That's it.
He's got two top ones, and then the third one just becomes more defined in that the next one.
Yeah, real body transition there. Ooh, one extra ab.
Oh my gosh. An extra line of abs. Screw that guy. Oh, here's a picture of him eating chips with abs. Screw you, dude. Okay. We're getting out of here.
I eat chips, but I don't get abs.
Yeah. Frank.
Okay, now
all right.
Petty. I think we.
What?
Let's get back. Here we go.
We're gonna get comments where it's just like you can tell these guys are single, and I'm like, no, wait a minute.
Just hate rom coms. Sometimes there's some good romantic comments. Yeah. Like I want to enjoy them. It's just so unrealistic.
Here's the thing:
no one looks like that in real life.
Just Friends is good. There we go.
Solid.
Just Friends is a good rom-com. You've Got Mail. The Proposal. Good one.
Yes. Go to Ryan Reynolds.
There was a few. Frick. Was it? It was the one dude from Pitch Perfect. He basically is in a photo booth that's also a time machine. And he goes back in time. Or relives that this one night, and if he changes a few things, he sees how the future would have been. Like Anyone But You, or no, not anyone.
So many
bro movies. I am so tired. All right. Anyways. Anyone but you. All right.
We should probably get going on this.
Yeah, we're 13 minutes in, and yeah, but and we're just ranting at this point. Anyway, Anyone But You starts out.
Funny is that really quick, I just want to point out really quick, sorry, that we mentioned two romantic comedies with Ryan Reynolds. We're like, oh, those are good. And we had no problem with Ryan Reynolds, and he's Ryan Reynolds. And we're just like, yeah, great. And then it's Glenn Powell. We're like, fuck Glenn Powell. Glenn Powell.
You want to know why? Because Ryan Reynolds has a personality.
Maybe that's it.
Ryan Reynolds has a personality on the screen, and Glenn Powell is just like,
That's true. Oh, he was okay.
He was a good guy. He was honestly.
Ryan Reynolds was in it.
Honestly, yeah, Ryan. Yeah, no. But okay, now getting into the movie. Anyone But You. Basically starts out, we find out that Sydney Sweeney is a student going to law school. She goes into a coffee shop because she needs to go to the bathroom. The establishment's going like, nah, you gotta buy something. She looks over, sees the lines busy, and she's like, oh, well, actually law and everything, you know, I know stuff. So basically you gotta give me the key. And she's like, nah. And then Glenn Powell, you know, smooth as ever, can be, you know, pretends like, hey, wife, would you like, do you need anything? Like, doesn't know this girl, just says, hey, wife, kind of plays it off like, oh, like, I got you. We'll play it off like we're together so you can get this key. And it ends up working. She like goes to the bathroom. She accidentally gets water on her crotch area like she peed her pants. Aha, very funny. Going through this whole entire like process of trying to make it look like she didn't pee her pants, and you know, being like, I was trying to represent being strong by not pissing. And I'm like, way to go, girl. You go. Like at that point when she was just like, yeah, I gotta not piss. I was just like, yeah, that shows power.
Yeah,
just like them. You show them by not pissing that you make wise decisions, but
not just having a bodily function.
Yep. But anyways, they have this. They go out on a date. It works out perfectly, you know, as rom-coms all do, right? And then, they go out on this date. They don't end up hooking up, and they actually, you know, fall asleep just talking. And then morning after, she gets up like it's a one night stand, which makes the guy feel like, you know, it was trashy. Like, you know, he thought like, oh, I thought I was doing a good thing by not actually forcing her to get into bed with me and all that stuff. Or, you know, trying to lead it to that, not force it, but like lead it to that. But miscommunication, she leaves. Guy's friend comes in, you know, the token black friend. I did write that note. It was,
oh my God, you're right.
It's the token black friend. In every rom-com or some rom-coms, there's a token black friend. I'm, you know, call it what it is.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. It was very white.
Yeah, it was just the
token Brigada.
But
he was my favorite character. I was like the only person I cared about. I was like, I just want to see. Yeah,
he was the fun character. I liked him in the airport with the balloons. I thought that was funny. He just borrowed it. But anyways, they have this miscommunication. She gets on the phone with a friend. Friend's just like, what are you doing? She's like, yeah, what am I doing? And she goes back. Overhears a conversation with the dude and his friend saying like, oh, I couldn't get her out of here fast enough, which basically was him trying to protect himself and seem like he's okay. And then that's where the movie goes off from. They meet each other 6 months later because of a mutual friend dating a friend. I think I lost track at that point, but
It was Gata's sister.
Yeah.
Getting married. lesbian couple.
Yep.
And Ada's sister's Glenn Powell's, not Ryan Reynolds, even though we want it to be Ryan Reynolds' friend. And then it's Marion Sydney Sweeney's character's sister.
Yep.
Now they're going to be stuck and going to Australia together. They get on the same flight.
Yep. Which was a funny scene.
That's how it all begins.
Yeah. But
here's my issue with this movie really quick. I'm going to just get on my soapbox. Sorry. I'm going to interrupt. I'm not trying to interrupt you, brother. You're doing great. I just got to say.
I'm going to say.
Such high hopes.
Go ahead.
I had high hopes for this movie because the part where she crawls over his crotch and he's listening to Unwritten is legitimately funny.
Yeah.
After that, what the hell happened?
Yeah, it got...
Like, I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of different. Like, I was really into it.
Yeah.
And then once they get to Australia...
It's your token rom-com. You just, like,
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all good. No, this... Like, it's basically what... This movie is we didn't have a lot of notes on this movie because that's truthfully what it is. It's like up to the part where they go to Australia, you're just thinking like, holy crap, this is different. This is a new take. They actually don't like each other through the whole entire movie, which they don't like each other. Kinda.
Yes.
Just like, but it turns into your average rom-com, you know, like I will say, laughed my butt off at the part where it was the they were standing out at the cliff and, you know, they were trying to pretend like they were doing so they were doing all this stuff and just like, it's not a magic genie lamp, stop rubbing my butt like that, just all these awkward things, and then the whole entire group's not paying attention, they're just paying attention to this koala.
I love, see, that was Gata too. Like, I was laughing at that part because Gata was talking to the koala so peacefully and they're all looking. They go through all that little, like, you know, little butt touch.
Yep.
Little fingers here and there. I'm like, what the?
And you see in the background,
got a lot going on.
He's doing like a windshield maneuver in the background in one of the scenes where he's just like, he's just kind of just doing like this just elaborate windshield just on her butt.
I just rubbing up and down on someone that they're pretending. I was like, you're really committed.
Yeah, it's just like, wow.
To pretending to like pretty much have your butt played with.
Yeah, and just like they
maybe the butthole.
And they ended up putting a finger in a butthole. And I was just like, where is this going?
Happened. Okay.
Yeah, because it was in
glove. I didn't take a note on the butthole part, but I was like, that happened.
At that point. Yeah, because it was just like, you saw it, and then he did it to her, and then all of a sudden, he had a spider in his shorts, which then he just reacted like I think anybody with arachnophobia would, just rips off his clothes and throws it. Especially in Australia, because everything kills you there. And so I thought the line... spiders hunt in pairs was funny. It's just spiders hunt in pairs. Spiders hunt in pairs. I thought that was funny. But and then yeah. But after that, it really turns into your classic rom-com. You know, you have the parts where they really do hate each other. They expound on that, and then they have a point where it's just like, oh, like I like you, but it was a miscommunication thing. They kind of just spent the whole entire time prolonging the inevitable, which was like actually communicating about that, which I feel like after some time, like if you're meeting, it would just be as simple as this. Just like, hey, I just want to let you know, like that night, I actually like really enjoyed, you know, having you there. And she would say, oh, I heard this. He would explain it. And then they actually end up liking each other. End of movie. It could have been done in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, truthfully.
Yeah, it would have been over. Just like communicated.
And that if they just
communicated. Like, hey, I really enjoyed this. I didn't mean to leave.
Yeah, it's just like,
sounded like a fuckboy, even though that word is used. Like, Sydney Sweeney says, fuckboy like 25 times. And by the fifth time she said it, I was really just got to me. Like, please stop saying that word.
Yeah, because it's like, why?
Because other words, use a thesaurus, Sydney
just,
Sweeney.
Just like, there is other words. I know you're saying a script, but there is other words that you could have improvised in that
part. Right. You are in law school, lady, or you're not in law school anymore. You're dropped out, but maybe that's why, because you just can use the same. You don't know, your vocabulary is very limited.
Let's just casually call it. He's a douchebag. He's acting like a douchebag. Yeah. There you go.
Douchebag. Not Ryan Reynolds. Player.
Not Ryan Reynolds. Did I mention?
Not Ryan Reynolds.
Just like, hey, you want to watch a movie that they actually just didn't like each other through the whole entire movie and ended up liking each other at the end? The Proposal. And you know what makes that movie better? It's with Ryan Reynolds.
And Sandra Bullock.
And Sandra Bullock, which is A1 on the casting director for that movie. Because that was great. Mm. But
it was a great movie.
It was. And so it definitely...
Throw in Betty White.
Throwing Betty White doing a weird dance in the woods. Okay, right. We won't talk about The Proposal now. Back to your token rom-com, even though The Proposal was better. That's basically the movie. They get to the end. They get to the freaking marriage. You know, Sydney Sweeney goes off going like, I love him, but I don't know what to do with my life. Everything's falling apart. And then everybody looks at Glenn Powell and he's just like, go get her. Yeah. Go do this really big, elaborate thing that makes you stand out, and then finally go talk to her at the end. And so,
along with that, you jump into the water to get pretty much the Harbor Coast Guard, essentially, yeah. Right, for Australia.
Yeah.
Like an ambulance or the water.
Yep.
What a waste of money. Like, they would be pissed. They would not just be like, oh, go get her. They're like, yeah, we're going to like throw you in jail.
It's just like,
this is crazy. It's twice now. They do it twice.
Yeah. They would start actually asking questions. And even the dude was just like, stay away from water. Like when they dropped them off, like,
right.
Like stay away from water.
He does it again.
He has apparently.
And they're like, oh, go get her.
Go get her. Like, yeah, it's just like, I'm sorry about, like, why don't you guys use a boat? Just go get her. Like, no, it would be as simple, on that helicopter ride, it wouldn't have been just like, oh, yeah, you could totally, we'll totally drop you off at the opera house. No, they would look at him and just be like,
oh, bullshit.
Actually, no, we have to take you in. To the hospital because that's protocol.
Because you're wasting
just like that's protocol.
Precious resources and time.
And then when we find out that you just jumped. Actually
drowning right now.
Yeah, just like that person. But no, we were flying your love struck butt. All right, fine. Like that's what it is. The movie is unrealistic. I'm sorry. Like rom-coms are romance movies are mostly unrealistic. Sorry to say, like, sorry to ruin the magic, but it's like
I've enjoyed rom-coms that are, I can have fun with them. It's not like I hate all rom-coms.
Yeah.
But this one, it was like, it sets you up to think that this is going to be different. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, it's a rom-com that's trying something new. It's different. It's going against the formula, and then it just goes right back into it. I was like, why set all that up to just happen anyway?
Yeah, it's
so it doesn't make any sense. It's just, that's my issue with it.
Yeah, basically it's not. So the story behind this movie,
that's what I'm.
It's not like a crazy story, but I was.
Hold on, everyone listening, buckle up. We've all been waiting for this. I've been eagerly waiting to hear, honestly.
It's just sad. It's just sad. But
now I feel like a real a-hole.
But, no, No, this movie came out and I heard that, you know, it was all the rave. And there was a girl that I was really interested in. And so I was just like, hey, I'm going to go watch this movie. And I was wondering if you wanted to tag along. And then she was just like, oh, yeah, like earlier in the day, she was like, oh, yeah, like I'm probably going to be hanging with my mom for a little bit, but afterwards I'm down, or like, I'll let you know, kind of thing. Right. Just leaving it open, which totally all right. That was the last text and I didn't hear for her for 2 days. And I went to go and I got the ticket, the tickets and everything. And I get it. Like, it's honestly, whatever, like, not holding it against her, but I went to the movie by myself, got a ticket by myself because I was just like, F it, like, said I'm gonna go, so I'm gonna go. So I watched the movie and I was looking at like the seats to do it, and I was just like, fire, I'm gonna be in a theater by myself. I get to be like, this is great, dream scenario,
at a rom-com,
I'm gonna get to be by myself, this is great. Nope. There were about 12 couples in there, and I am the only dude by myself watching this rom-com. And I'm telling you, bro, I'm looking around, and they're all cuddling. They got blankets, and like one couple's kissing up there, and I'm just sitting there, just like, yeah, like, I'm like, screw you.
You could have made that really awkward for all of them. And there were so many, like, I'm imagining the different things you could do to make them hate being in that theater with you.
I'm
sorry, brother. What's her name?
I'm not gonna.
What's her name?
I'm not gonna.
We could go to her house. Everyone listening, we're going to her house right now.
I'm not about to put her on blast. She's a good friend who, you know, like the rest of us, just going through life. And so.
Okay. All right, I'll stop talking.
Yeah, no,
Or to stay on that. I mean, you can go through life, but you don't do that to someone.
Whatever.
But anyway, I'm just saying, just don't, dude, just be honest. Instead of, you know, like these people, you know, Sydney Sweeney and not Ryan Reynolds, like, just be communicating with one another.
Yeah, just say, like, I would have been fine with, like, hey, no.
It's not going to, I'm just not in that space right now. It's just not looking to, that would have been fine.
Yeah, it's just like, hey.
I'd be like, just, oh, yeah, sure.
Instead of just like, oh, yeah, like, I'd be down. I got this thing going on, but I'll let you know. It's like, yeah, it's whatever. If you wanted to, you would. But at that point, she doesn't listen to this, so it's fine.
Well, good, because I just said what a bitch. So, I mean, I don't care. I don't even know who it is. I don't even know her name.
I watched it. Oh, dude, I will tell you that. No, it's all good. We can leave it in. Screw it. There was a small point in. I was really thinking about making it very uncomfortable for everybody in there. I was so close, and I
want to share on this podcast what's going through my head.
If you were in that situation, what would you do? If you were in my situation,
I would totally pretend like I have an imaginary girlfriend and just put my arm around, or brought in just like a body pillow. Go even more and just like invest in a blow up doll, not use it because that's gross, but just have one and just see what happens.
Just a full blown, like mannequin, like in the mannequin that you could actually like
chill. There we go, just a mannequin
and just carry a mannequin around and just sit here.
This is my lovely girlfriend, Linda. Oh.
She's a girlfriend I made out of butter and chives. She's a big Clint Powell fan.
What? Good for you, though. It's brave. Like, I think it's brave when someone goes into a movie themselves. Honestly, it is. Because it's just, especially a rom-com.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, I'm just watching a movie, enjoying a movie. Yeah. And you know those people are like, what's going on with that guy?
Yeah. I bet you they were just like, oh, you probably got stood up. And I would be like, yeah, what's it to you? And then just pee on them.
You never seen a guy get stood up before? Don't worry, my girlfriend's coming. Just bring in the mannequin.
My girlfriend will be here. Just the mannequin.
It'll show you.
It'll show you.
Stood up. Just get popcorn right now.
Just say, hey, I'm...
Wait, can someone pretend to be my girlfriend?
Just like, I'm going to go home and play video games and probably have myself a rum and coke. What are you going to do? Like, I don't have to be told to get off the video games. What are you gonna do?
Heckin' mate, sir.
But no, it was at the end of the day, anyone but you. If you're a fan of rom-coms, I guess go watch it. But at this point, it's like every other rom-com. So if you've seen one, you've seen Anyone But You. This is basically just a new wave.
Honestly, watch.
It's just a new wave of actors in the same plot. That's basically what rom-coms are these days. But if you want to watch.
Go watch Just Friends or You've Got Mail, The Proposal, and you'll probably have a better time.
Yeah, you will. 100%. I'd say you would be better off watching Bloody Bodybuilder in Hell than watching Anyone But You.
I wouldn't even go that far.
I mean,
I know Glenn Powell's not Ryan Reynolds, but that was still recovering.
Yeah, that one was terrible. I retract that statement. Leave it in, but I retract that statement.
Honestly, just go watch Just Friends for Anna Faris being psychotic all on her own. It's worth
it. That's, and you know, if you've seen Scary Movie, it just makes it better. Like,
even better.
Because you, it's just like,
amazing.
Because it's like, yes, she plays that kind of character very well, and we love her for it.
Yeah, her level of commitment is perfect.
The toothpaste scene really gets me every time in that movie. That toothpaste scene just gets me. I'm like,
the movie is legitimately funny.
And also,
like, I don't even care it's predictable because it's actually freaking funny.
And if you don't like it, if you don't know what it's like growing up with brothers, they really do portray.
This movie does a great job.
It does a great job of portraying what, like, growing up with brothers, you did to each other. You screwed with each other. You hit each other for no reason. Yeah. You screwed with. You messed their chances.
Even
up
as adults.
Yep. You just still screw up everything. Oh man. But with that, we go.
Anyone But You is okay.
Honestly, 6 out of 10. Anyone But You, 6 out of 10 on the Screen Bros rating.
Sydney Sweeney, though? Sydney Sweeney?
10 out of 10.
Sydney Sweeney is a 10
out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Acting for her in this, though? 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
I don't think she's a bad actress.
No.
I actually know that she's really good because there's this other movie. This one? The amount of times that she showed no emotion in what she's doing, I'm like, she is phoning it in.
Yep.
There's a lot of times like, oh, I'm really mad at you. I actually really like you. There was one scene she talked like that. I was like, what is she doing?
Just like, is she?
Why are you talking like that?
Just like, you're very confusing. Like, just help. No,
she was supposed to be upset, maybe?
I don't know.
Why would you do that to me?
Speaking of which, the person that is a part of that story that I mentioned just Snapchat me.
Oh
yeah,
tell her that you met a wonderful lady named Linda. And you went to go see that movie with her. And that she wears those clothes from the Gap really well.
God dang it, bro. Oh, that's... Anyways, let's get to the last action hero, because this last action hero was
way better.
Oh my gosh. I watched that.
I knew you would like
it. Dude, I honestly, when it first started, I was just like, oh no. I'm like, oh no. And then all of a sudden I was just like, oh, okay. I like this a lot.
Hell yeah. It gets better and better. So to give this synopsis, this is like a 1993 action movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he literally pretty much makes fun of his own movies. And this is me so ahead of its time.
That's what I was thinking.
And I don't think it was appreciated. Like in 1990s, it would not be appreciated. Dude, if it were like come out today, I think it would be huge.
I was watching it and Daniel was watching it with me, and like, I don't know if he would say the same thing, but like, I was thinking like for 1993, this was way ahead of its time. Like this concept and this idea of
seriously.
It way ahead of its time. If they did it today with the technology and all that stuff for the time, I was just like, this isn't not for 1993. This is fire. This is good. But it's like,
right.
If it's made today, holy crap. I think it would be great. I think it would.
Totally. With like better writing and like how I just think Deadpool, like that.
Yeah.
That's more fourth wall. But like, you know, like our movies are becoming that aware of itself. But it's like about a kid that goes to the movies a lot. He loves these action films of Jack Slater. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Jack Slater movies are almost like Die Hard movies.
Yeah.
Four of them now in this universe. And loves going to these movies. And the old man that works at the theater, which is concerning in itself, this young kid goes to hang out with an older man in the theater. There's a bunch of homeless people there.
Mm-hmm.
Dad has died. His mom works night shifts. Poor mom. It's really sad. Like, and he's a good kid, just loves these movies. And so, just kind of like summing up, he gets this magical movie ticket that this old man, Nick, got from Houdini, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually is magical and brings him into the universe and world of Jack Slater. He's dropped into this action film. And it really explores of like, I don't know, like, just how maybe actors like action movies kind of makes fun of them. Like the kind of the dilemma of like these characters and what they go through. I don't know. It's really tough. Like a superstar and like facing yourself. I think it's a lot deeper.
Yeah.
And people realize I love this movie. And I know I looked up, it was like 41% on Rotten Tomatoes. 48%, 50% audience score. Not that that matters, but it's just like, this is an underappreciated Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It really is.
I think he's great in it.
Daniel and I were
And then eventually, it elaborates and he goes, the Jack Slater comes in the real world and gets the bad guy.
Yeah.
That's an action movie within an action.
It was a movie within a movie, and it was really cool, which we've seen those before. Yeah. But like seeing it that in like, you know, 1993, it was pretty awesome. But no, like it really definitely expounded in the start of the movie where it's like, okay, this guy truly like watches movies to escape, like to escape what like he's going through, because it's rough where he's at. Like there's crime, there's weird stuff going on, and like you can't be safe, because like this kid's walking home from the movie theater and like a dude just almost like touches him, like straight up, like just almost like grabs, like, or like pushes him, like he's gonna go for something, but like reaches for him. So it's like at any point this guy can just be grabbed, you know. And then we find out, like, lost the dad, single mom, she works nights, you know, lives in a very run down apartment building where it's like you don't even feel safe in your own apartment building, that you have to like lock the doors and be very careful. Like, kid is going through it. He gets broken, like apartment gets broken into and everything. But at this point, yeah, the guy from the movie theater offers him like a chance to see the new Jack Slater movie, which is, you know, comes out early and all that stuff. And he's like, show up at midnight and we'll watch, I'll show you this movie basically. And so just goes home, waits, apartment gets broken into, goes to the police station, but he still has, after the police station, he's just like, still going to go to the movies. Like,
so that was one of my things I noted. I was like, no fucking way did they let that kid just like, hey, you know, make sure you go home. Hey, yeah. You just got pretty much almost, you got robbed by this weaker that broke into your apartment. You're at home alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Make sure you go home. They would have just brought him home.
Yeah.
And waited. Or to his mom's work. No fucking way. They're just like, hey. And if that's the case, what an indictment on the police department of New York in the 90s. That is terrible.
I mean, maybe
did not do a good job then.
Maybe that it was a smack at them. And that's why, like, it didn't get as popular. I don't know. But
maybe. Yeah, that the cops really are the ones that put that 50% audience score.
They're just like, I'm a cop. This what? Is not
in
right.
That movie, I don't like it. They betrayed us.
They betrayed us in a crappy way.
How dare they?
We get crime. It's like, no.
We do stuff.
We do stuff. We don't eat donuts. We're not trashing on police. It's all satire jokes. If you have if you've gone through the episodes,
bad apples everywhere.
Yeah, if you've gone through the episodes and haven't figured out that we are very satire, like humorous, and we'll go off just off tangents, get with the program. Satire. We'll make fun of everything. Everything's a joke. Everybody should be in on it. But. No,
I honestly really wanted to see, there was a part in the movie where he goes to school, and not that school is this way anymore, but it's like, you know, really boring. They're going to watch a movie scene from Hamlet. As if those kids were reading Hamlet.
If you're going to say what I wrote down,
but
if you're going to say what I wrote down.
I want to see an Arnold Schwarzenegger version.
Yes, I want that.
I want that movie right now.
There is a part where this guy is so like he's in school. Yeah, he's so obsessed with it that he sees Hamlet in the style of Jack Slater, which is just his action hero. So it's Hamlet style, which is like swords and shields and everything. And it's just Arnold Schwarzenegger with a gun.
Then it's like submachine guns come out. He just starts shooting everyone. He's like, to be or not to be.
To be or not to be. And I was laughing
so hard. I was like, I want that movie.
I really wish it was a real thing, but it's sadly not. Yeah, I wrote down I'd watch that version of Hamlet.
Right?
Yeah.
That was the moment when I texted you. It was like, this is so much fun. I was like, that's right. I love this fucking thing. I wasn't sure because it's one of those I haven't seen since I was a kid. You know, the kind of movies I watched as a kid.
Yeah.
And it's still like, it's better now as an adult that I get it, like what it's doing. So many things. I'm like, that's brilliant what they're doing.
Yeah. It's actually like, wow, this is ahead of its time. And I wish stuff like this, where it's like trying something totally new and you haven't seen before, can we see it in this day and age? But yeah, no. So kid meets up with Nick, right? What's his name? Movie theater guy. What was his name?
Yep.
Nick. Okay. Yeah. Closes the door. Like, and then creepily walks up to the kid. I thought it was pretty creepy. He was just slams the door and then slowly like starts getting close to him. And I was being like, nah, I would have been like, hey, keep a distance, bro. Don't get this close.
Whoa, Nick.
He's like, whoa, Nick. Yeah. You're being really creepy right now.
Oh, Nick, he's a kid.
Nick, no!
Nick, stop.
But,
leave the kid alone, Nick!
Nick! But he, gives this magic ticket. They're like, oh, like, I've been so scared to do it, but maybe it'll work for you. This movie ticket basically makes it to where you can get into any movie. Doesn't know that, but like after watching the movie, we assumed that the movie ticket makes it to where like you could pass between the world of fiction and nonfiction. That's what we get at. And then kids watching the movie, ticket starts, you know, doing its classic 90s like power animation where it's glowing and then the blue little lightning just kind of extends out, just classic 90s animation or CGI. And then he gets into the movie and everything changes from that point. And it becomes so cool because it's like this kid is seeing everything like, dude, you're just a movie character. So everything about this is a movie. And Arnold's like, no, this is my life. This is normal. Everything is normal here.
It points out, he makes fun of everything and points out that we always say about action movies.
Yep.
Can't die. Never runs out of ammo.
Yep.
Like, it's so many times, like, all the tropes of the action movie. Except for, I never understood the animated cat, but we can get into that later.
Roger Rabbit or something like that. But there's a lot of...
Oh, that would make sense.
During that time, because that's it was a good point.
You know what?
Yeah, during that time, animation and
early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roger Rabbit was only had to be like 80, so it's not that far off. So yeah. That makes sense.
So like live action mixed with cartoons. I mean Space Jam. They did that. The original Space Jam will always be good, but
always.
So yeah, it gets into the movie and gosh dang, it becomes so like just the action movie tropes playing into it. I want to go back. Wait, hold on.
Did you notice that? Sorry.
I thought it was funny where like the dude who gave the ticket was just like, I can't do magic. My hands are too tiny. Just like, what? It was
what does that have to do with anything?
No, that was the smallest thing. I was just it just took me back. I was like, what? Like,
you know what? I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, I was just like, okay.
I was still stuck on my you just had a ticket from Houdini and never tried to use it.
Oh my gosh, but the
that's funny, my hands are tiny. I want to use that as an excuse for everything. I'm sorry,
my hands are tiny. But the freaking okay, yeah. So before he actually jumps into the movie, there's a scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger is coming up to the house, his cousin's house in the movie, and he's like, and some officers are there, and he's like, it's like, oh, it's a drug bust. Arnold's just like, ah, it must be a mistake. This is my cousin's house. Gets a knocks on the door, nobody answers. He opens the door, his cousin's tied up. Gives him the piece of information, kind of like every movie, you know, like gets straight to the point. Just like, hey, by the way, this and that. All right, I'm going to die now. I loved it when the famous last words, just like, I'm out of here. Just dies.
No, I wrote that too. I was like, he just died?
He's just like,
why? They didn't kill him there. They put him there.
You just beat him up. And then at that point, also, he could get that information. And then he's just like, I'm out of here.
I'm done, man.
Just gone. It's like, oh.
He's just like, I'm out. No, I don't want to do anything more. I'm out. He's probably like, oh, I got two tiny hands to live. So I'm done. My hands are too tiny to live.
Gosh dang. But then, then you know, house blows up. You know, action movie, right?
Of course. No, really quick. Sorry. Can I point this out? I don't mean to interrupt you, brother.
What's up?
Really bad about this interrupt, but
it's all good.
It's the fact that they had all the cards to count down. I was like, are they either they better have really good surveillance that they're watching to time it?
Yeah.
There's so many variables that could have happened that he never did it or he waited. Like, how the fuck did they time it so perfect? I'm like, that's. It's again, action movie trope. Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any
sense. Unless they're watching him perfectly. I'm like, oh, now we're going to do it. But why would you wait? Like, that's another trope. Just blow it up. Just he's in there.
Like, the whole entire thing. You talk too much. You wait too long. You like, it's just like the classic
villain trope. That's right. Yeah, that's like, you talk too much.
Yeah. But
this movie is...
Yeah, house blows up, starts a chase because the two cops that he was with dies, but he lives, you know, action movie trope. Gets into a car chase. Freaking, I left. I was just like, okay, I was totally bought into this movie when, you know, the explosions are going off, the random explosions, and one of the explosions is a freaking ice cream truck exploding. And it explodes, and the dude, it just cuts to a guy showing him dying, and then he leans forward, and there's an ice cream cone, fully intact, mind you, like, this thing is not pulled. It's perfectly in his head, and the guy just leans down dead, and it's just an ice cream cone in the back. I'm like, I'm sold. I'm in, bro. I'm so into this.
Everyone listening, we did not communicate with each other. I wrote the exact same.
It was so...
I laughed so hard. I wrote ice cream cone in the back of the head. Ha 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 ha.
I said death by cone. Nice.
Death by cone. Nice.
By cone.
Death by cone. Nice.
Oh gosh. And
no joke. That was definitely one of the moments I'm like, I'm in. I am in this.
Yeah, just like, I'm in this. No, like, there was so many movies. Now we could just talk about all the, because it's a movie that plays into all the action movie tropes. So you're just laughing at everything that is in action movies that are, you know, everybody's like, that's not supposed to happen. But then they're out. They're like, yeah, that's the point of the movie.
The point.
Like, that's the whole entire point.
That's why I really love. This is why I think it's appreciate Arnold Schwarzenegger. He literally went out and made a movie making fun of his movies.
Yeah. That's a dude who actually...
He's the best, man. It's brilliant.
He has a sense of humor. He doesn't take himself so seriously. That's what's beautiful about it. Like, if you can...
That's why I love him.
If you can, it's like, wonderful. see why people can do it and you can play into that, that just shows you that, like, you love what you do. You don't take yourself so seriously. Like, you're doing what you do. Hey, if people are going like, oh yeah, this is just not going to make any sense. This is action movie tropes. Arnold's probably out here like, let's make a movie about that. Genius. Like,
it'll make sense in 20 years.
Just like, it'll make sense. And then, you know, two dudes will talk about it on a podcast and I'll get, you know, it'll be good again. hey, for a 90s movie, still holds up. But I was taken back. I was taken back by the, like, go into the house and little kid, and then door opens and the girl just kisses this little kid on the mouth. And I was like, wait, what the? I was like, okay, that was kind of weird. I don't know how I feel about that one. It's just like, I get it. Like,
I didn't like that part.
You know, the kid might have liked it, but you know. Back then, that was the whole entire thing.
Kid liked
it. Kid loved
it. So weird.
Kid loved it.
It was a weird thing.
Yeah, but I, this movie is, it was so much fun. Oh my gosh. It was, there's so many scenes to this movie that it's like, oh my, I want to mention them all. It was just so funny. I enjoyed it.
Happy to see the blockbuster.
Yeah.
Blockbuster scene.
The blockbuster scene.
Nostalgic. I was really trying to wrap my head around the blockbuster though. Cause here's why. And yeah. I was trying to formulate words of what bothered me and was very confusing about all this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, so they see that Terminator 2, right? It's Sylvester Stallone. So in that world, Sylvester Stallone exists.
Yeah.
So the world that he's in is based on writers that write the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. This is the part that The only qualm I have with this movie is the rules of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard to follow about it. Is that these movies only exist because of writers.
Yes.
Someone writes it and makes it up. He goes into this world.
Mm-hmm.
Did they really take the time to go that detailed about like movies, Blockbuster, the whole world? I don't know. Like, I hope that makes sense. I don't know if it makes sense or not.
No,
like,
I think it's more along the lines.
It was weird to me that it was just so. It's like a whole other level of like, there's no way.
Yeah.
That just seems like a lot.
I think there are
too much detail and depth that no one's thinking about.
I think there are a few rules that probably just expand out and cover a lot of bases. Like, the whole entire point is like of the action movie world is like, no, it doesn't make sense. And it goes into that, like, why are only attractive people working here at Blockbuster? It makes no sense. Just like,
good point.
Just like, why is like you get shot in the chest and we consider it a flesh wound? That makes no sense. We go down on right. a bicycle.
Why is going it Mach women are just wearing metal bras
in like skin tight suits and everything, and they're looking good always. And it's like you can be on a bicycle going downhill and then hit something and just not crash and die. Like, you'll just magically land and, like, you know, probably do like a 360 in the air. Like, I think it's the action movie world rule where it's like, it doesn't make any sense. And so.
Okay. That actually helps. Thank
yeah.
you. That was just gnawing the entire.
Yeah.
Life. That just seems like another level of detail. There's no way that exists. Of like, what's the point of that? But that actually helps. Thank you.
Yeah, because it's just like, it's like, hey, you only from the movie, like if you're just watching the movie, you're only getting that perception. But if you go into the world, it's kind of like Free Guy, you know, like you only get what you get. But there's multiple things happening around, like there's a whole entire world in that. And so, yeah. And so I feel like there's been some. It made no sense. Yeah, I think at that point, it's just.
But action movies don't make sense, just like romantic comedies don't make sense.
It don't make sense. You know, romantic comedies, you know, it's, you know, the butterflies and happy-go-lucky version of love. And then action is just everybody hopes that they can do the coolest thing in the room and live. That's an action movie.
Right. Yeah. Or get killed by ice cream.
But then we get the ice cream. Oh my gosh, death by ice cream. Holy crap. Diabetes be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Diabetes.
That joke might not go in.
oh no, that's going in.
Oh, perfect. But we meet this next character, basically the main, you know, antagonist, which is like this marksman. And throughout the movie, you know, we're going through. Like, oh, classic villain trope, classic this, but the whole entire time,
he's a kid.
He's a great, yeah. Kid has the ticket. Guy takes the ticket. The antagonist takes the ticket. Now we're going back into the rules of the real world. This guy has the ticket that allows him to get into the real world. So it's an actor, an action movie world person, villain. Going into the real world, fictional character going into that instead of nonfiction going into fiction,
where the actors exist that play those characters.
Exactly.
And did you know, really quick, have you ever watched Game of Thrones?
The first episode, and then I stopped.
Oh, was it the ending of the first episode that made you stop?
Yeah,
I'll do it. Never mind then. What I wrote isn't relevant to this discussion.
Well, see,
I'll do it. Like, it was tough for me to even continue after that first episode.
Yeah, it's just like
I don't know if I'm up for this.
It's like after the first episode, I'm like, couldn't have just waited until like the third season to drop incest that.
Is pretty gross.
Yeah, third season you drop incest, no, not right off the pilot, bat, not incest pilot. Is
bad. You wait for the third season.
Third season. Disgusting. Come on. It's
pretty intense. It's
gross. The Witcher waited three episodes. Like
the third date. That's right.
And then, so antagonist gets the ticket. He goes into, figures out that he can go into the real world. But to the antagonist like puts a bomb, like a gas bomb, in what's the guy's name? Did you write it down? Like fart.
Benedict
Fart?
But bad guy?
No. Oh, no, the guy at the funeral. Oh, no,
Mr. It's just Mr. Fart.
It's just Mr. Fart?
Fart. That's it.
Oh, I thought it was Mr. Fart.
I forgot about the Mr. Fart.
Bro, Mr. Fart. Oh, my gosh.
That scene is amazing.
That scene is great.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I wrote that down because this is my one thing. Basically, the antagonist put a gas bomb into this really fat guy. And to activate the bomb, the guy has to go up to the casket. And you see it. The antagonist goes up to the casket and pulls his finger. And I was just like, that's a good pull my finger joke. Pulls his finger, activates the gas bomb.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. But the fact that, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger goes up there and, like, you know... freaking, oh my gosh, do you hear him? I'm here. He's alive, everybody. He just picks him up.
Carries the dead body.
Carries the mob. This dude who's in the mob, and everybody's like, oh my gosh. And then he's trying to chase this crane hook that the kid is driving. And again, action world movie, the kid doesn't know how to drive a fork like a crane or whatever, but in this one moment,
he
is certified like he's been doing it for 5 years. He knows what he's doing.
Yep.
But I laughed so hard where he gets to the edge and he's still holding the body. And he's just like, and he turns around and just like, oh, my gosh, and lets him go.
He puts his arms up. The body just goes
like, oh, and it, when Arnold just gets all wide eyed, it's funny. Just, oh,
oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It was legitimately funny in this movie. And the rant that he gives to the kid of like, that's the house. He's like, oh, you mean all these years, all this work, all the classes I took, you know, in college and forensics, and all I had to do was drive around and point to house and go, that's the one.
That's the one. Wow. So you hard. Revolutionized. Like, that was great.
You revolutionized police work.
Just like, here, you deserve this.
Like, he was
so good. And then it kind of got so a little it got existential when the antagonist, you know, goes to the other world. And it's like he's realizing that, like, I thought it was funny that like the kid was realizing that everything can work out for his favor and the bad guys lose. And then when the antagonist shows up to the real world, it's portraying that the bad guys pretty much win all the time and there's no heroes in the real world. And it's like, ugh, geez. Cause I kind of laughed, sorry, but it was a morbid joke. Okay. Antagonist is in the real world. He passes through with the ticket. He goes to shoot this guy. Like, it's at middle of the night, you know, New York. And this guy's just trying to be helpful. Just being like, hey, like I can help you out. And the antagonist is just like, yeah, can you answer a theory? I need your help answering a theory, and just shoots him. And it's like, just like, I have killed this.
He's this like, guy. I murdered someone. Anyone call the police?
And then just the guy, hey, shut up. Just in the background. Hey, shut up.
Yeah, it's an indictment of like our world.
And
yeah, that was really, you're right. It was funny, but it was just like, we're making such a good point here.
It's just like, yeah, like, oh my gosh. It's just like movies are actually, like most movies are actually an escape from the real world chaos and everything. And so it was definitely an interesting concept to see, which again, 1993, ahead of its time. This was super existential. Honestly, when
it was appreciated at all.
There was the scene where like Jack Slater, Arnold Schwarzenegger meets like, okay, yeah, Jack Slater meets Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're the same person. I'm here going like, wait, is this like going to be one of those like multiverse theories where if you meet yourself, like it goes off? No, just literally like Arnold Schwarzenegger
Slater meets the wrong person.
Yeah. So he's not a real person. So Arnold Schwarzenegger just sees Jack Slater.
No, he's
just
not like, a real person.
Just like, hey, my agent's going to call you. You are a really good lookalike. And Jack Slater's just like, you ruined my life.
It's like, you look exactly like me and sound like me.
And it's like, do you not? I think Arnold was playing at the fact that sometimes like actors can be dumb. Like, just like, oh my gosh, you look like me.
That's a, there it is right there too. Like, is him as himself in the real world is an idiot.
He's playing
himself. And he wasn't like, no, I like the Jack Slater. Yeah, the Jack Slater version is way better than the actual Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
It's, like, he's just like talking about Planet Hollywood, which Planet Hollywood was a garbage restaurant that I remember going to once in Seattle.
Well,
I'm pretty sure there was like, it was garbage. Okay. And I remember there was like a table that was a frozen of Sylvester Stallone and ice from Demolition Man. You ate on that. A true story. It's a horrible restaurant.
Gosh dang.
It's weird. Well, I thought it was cool because I was a kid. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
It's just like movies. And now yeah.
I'm like, it was kind of just garbage.
Just like
it was garbage.
It's kind of sad to think about. But no.
Yeah, it was really sad.
And so like Jack Slater and the main antagonist, you know, they are fighting each other in the real world circumstances. And, you know, they win, of course. It's an action movie. Even, you know, in the real, I think it was trying to portray that even in the real world, like there are heroes who can win. Not all bad guys can win, will win. And we get to the part, and I kind of like, I choked up a little bit towards the end where he was saying goodbye to, you know, Jack Slater. Cause it's like this kid, like you watch this whole entire movie, and I kind of look at movies from the outside perspective of like, okay, this kid has a shit life, lost his dad. Just like he doesn't get to really spend time with his mom. It's just like, but he has to work, all that stuff. Probably doesn't have a great time, you know. It said like in the movie, he's just like, he has no friends, like he's alone. And so like he goes to the movies. And so like the fact, I kind of choked up a little bit when, you know, the kid was just like, no, I need you. Like I don't want to go because I need you. And it's like, wow, this kid, like movies is an escape for this kid. Like to experience something better, to experience this world of fiction and entertainment, is the escape for him. Like it doesn't matter if the rules are like whether it's realistic or not or anything. It's just more along it's like, no, I love this movie because it makes me feel something that I don't normally feel outside of these movie theater doors.
You know what, it just popped my head is like, it's also, I feel like this could be a beach, but it's almost, I feel like it's also saying like how ridiculous this movie is. Right, like Jack Slater moves, obviously ridiculous.
Yeah,
but this kid that's going through a garbage life, lost his dad, mom has to work. Great mom, like she's doing her best. Like he's a good kid.
Yeah,
good mom. Hard times. Finds his escape. And it's like, yeah, it's a crappy action movie, but it means something to him. And it's like, who gives a shit what you like? You like the movie?
Yeah.
It means something to you.
It's like it doesn't
also.
It doesn't matter if like, you know, you don't like it. It's the fact that like maybe for somebody else, that's their comfort. That's their escape movie. That's their like their favorite movie. And it's so it's like when we have this conception going around of like, you know, people loving the movies and spending all their time, you know, watching movies. Funny how we say this doing podcasts about movies. Like,
yeah. We just made fun of anyone but you.
Just and it just basically
for the Fast and Furious, right? Yeah. You have no attention span.
But gosh dang, it's like movies are an escape. Have
grown
like movies are like, and for me, like I definitely related to it. Like movies are like an escape. Like it's an escape from, you know, what's going on around. It's a moment to step into a world of fiction for just a moment, like a break, just a breather. And so this kid, I mean, he's saying he's skipping class so much. So this guy, he just doesn't want to be in the real world because it sucks and it's scary and he doesn't want to be, he wants to be in the movies. And so it was an interesting like concept. When you see it from that perspective, it makes the movie, like you said, run that much deeper. Is because this kid is actually like,
it really does,
he gets dropped in. He's living his dream. Like he wants to be in these movies. He wants to like watch these movies. Now he's like in it. And at first you're thinking like this kid, he's going to have a full blown panic attack. And he's like, holy crap. Like this is real. This is real. I'm not dreaming. But then he just goes with the flow. He's actually just loving every second of this, even in the scary points. He's just like, no, this is great. Sick. Like, oh, I'm the comedic sidekick, but this is still great. Like I'm living a better life.
Comedic sidekick.
And so for that, like, yeah, no, this movie definitely is for me is a 9 out of 10, 100%. Like it is a great movie.
Thank good. I agree, man. Yeah. I'm glad you liked it. It was in my head. I was like, ooh, like Justin's got to watch this. No, you've never seen it.
Yeah.
And really, before we move on and get to our trivia and everything, because I know we kind of wrap it up.
Yeah. But
Ian McKellen is in this fucking movie as Death.
I know. Okay. So like,
yeah. That was amazing.
Daniel pointed that out, that like Ian McKellen. And for a second, I was just like, it almost doesn't look like Ian McKellen. Like, it's Ian McKellen. He's just younger.
The young Ian McKellen. But
and I'm like, gosh dang, he's a good looking dude. But Death just looks at the kid and it's just like, yeah, you're gonna have grandkids. I was kind of confused going back to that rule of the movies. How did Ian McKellen play like Death from the Seventh Seal know who the real kid was, even though he's from a movie?
That was another. I had that question too.
I was
that
just one like,
didn't make sense. It was impactful, like it was emotional because
yeah,
he sees him, a kid. Knows it's Death.
Yeah.
Because I rewinded it.
Mm.
It was like, you can't take this one. You can't take him. He's talking about his dad.
Oh, that just hits even harder. Yep.
I know, right? I had to rewind. I was like, the kid knows it's Death. And he's talking about like,
oh, you Death can't
taking his dad. It's like, you can't take another one. You can't take this one.
You can't take this one kid too.
Was awesome.
Gosh dang. Hey, for a kid actor, holy crap. But
he did great. The rules of it don't make sense, but
we're not in it for the rules. That's the action. We're stop.
There's no rules.
There's no rules.
It gets fun, but that hit me too. It was like,
yeah, dude.
I mean,
it's kind of obvious.
Sure.
Scythe.
Looks like that.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Right.
Scythe.
Ian McKellen, you know, Scythe. Ian McKellen, kills it like he always does. He did great.
But, yeah, no. Last Action Hero, highly recommend. Honestly, Daniel and I said it. I think, aside from Predator, it is Arnold Schwarzenegger's best films. Aside from Predator.
And an underrated one.
And an underrated one of that. I think, you know, there's Kindergarten Cop. There's True Lies.
That's good.
You know, but this one.
Oh, my God. True Lies.
This one's different, and it's just it fits so well, and I love it. And the fact that it's just like it's there, it's like it's like they're becoming self-aware. It's just like, nothing's real. Like towards the end, Arnold's just like, nothing's real. Your whole entire life is written by a writer. Like you're living a lie. But I thought that was.
Well, he talks to the stereotypical angry black.
Chief. Yeah. Just like, at least. I think he's speaking English. Well, all right. Do we want to switch to? Have we been playing any new video games? Anything new?
Or? Ooh, after the Fallout show, I answered Fallout 4. I started over.
Mm-hmm.
It's consumed me.
Oh shoot! You've been
I've been consumed. I have had a lot of trouble with Bethesda games. Like I die a lot.
Yeah,
but I've tried a new way of doing this.
Okay.
I think it's brilliant.
All right.
And I'm happy with it. It's actually worked. Starting that game, just leveling up my intelligence. Which is a bingo. Mm-hmm. And I spread it around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the beginning of the game before you go into the vault.
Yeah.
And that makes you level up faster. And that has helped tremendously.
I have done a few.
I beat off this podcast. I'm going to go play that game right now.
That's fair enough.
Done with this.
I have done it to where I have done a full, like, all luck. Like, I just put, when I was creating the, like, just all luck. And so that, I feel like that helped me live through a lot of situations.
That helped. Yeah, because like, when I first played it, it was like, strange. Like, no. That's not the way to go about it.
Yeah. You gotta be smart. You gotta be like, okay, like yeah. I did luck and charisma. Yeah, I just did luck and charisma. And yeah. I was just like, I'm gonna play myself. Lucky and charismatic.
There you go.
Even though I got stood up for anyone but you, which isn't lucky nor charismatic.
You got a girlfriend named Linda.
Yeah, made out of butter and chives. Woo! All right. for me, I've been playing just back on that Helldivers game again.
It's so bad.
Gosh, it's I want it. So good.
I could just.
I'm definitely going. I'm thinking because I want to make like my PC more of like for work and all that stuff. And so like I'm thinking about getting a PS5 just so. I could also play with you if you when you get your PS5. Everybody, please subscribe and donate. Haha. If you go to our website RSS.
Donate to us improving our podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, Screen Bros. It's on our website. Please like, subscribe, follow wherever you're listening to this.
Yep.
Donate. I won't necessarily use that money for a PS5. Just get this going.
Yeah, no.
And if this got bigger, then I can get a PS5. And
we'll explain the joke. We'll explain the joke now. The PS5 is a want, but if we start getting paid for this, we're going to start, you know, putting it back into the podcast and getting better equipment, getting better everything. Right, you don't
have to listen to my shitty recording of my voice.
Just like
be nice and clear.
Instead of using his Amazon XM400 or whatever is on the front of his mic or whatever, we can
upgrade. Bucks. You got to start somewhere.
Humble beginnings, everybody. And you can help us go up. And we'd really appreciate that.
Spread the word.
Going into this next part, we thought, hey, let's switch it up a little bit. So instead of doing quotes, I'm going to put Josh through a little bit. I have taken 5 movies and.
Okay, really quick. Sorry. I'm going to interrupt you really quick.
For the everyone 7th time. No, I'm kidding.
I know. I'm really bad about it. I love you, brother. I know
it's all good.
All the time. When I listen back, honestly, when I listen back, I'm like, God, I'm annoying. I interrupt them so much.
It's all right.
I have no idea what I'm about to go through, to be honest. He has not told me. So I
haven't said anything.
In the dark, I don't know what's about to happen.
All I told Josh about, you know, this next episode is that he's not going to like my recommendation for the movie. Nice. That's all I said. But this one, this, I'm actually super excited about this. basically, instead of saying the quote and the other person having to guess, what I'm going to do, I have taken the time to take five movies. I've taken the synopsis of the movie and basically dumbed it down to a very comedic and very like vague explanation of the movie. And so with that, So with that vague and funny comedic explanation, and I kind of went dark on some of these jokes. So fair warning. But I'm going to say,
if you're sensitive, turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Get with the program. Anyways. And you know what? With the synopsis, play along. Maybe you'll guess the right movie and you can rub it in Josh's better face that you got more score than him or me.
Yeah. You can message me like, you stupid son of a bitch. You didn't get that.
You suck. Like, you say you watch movies
on Spotify.
But all right. So, movie number one. A girl who's neurodivergent and a baby driver have cancer and trauma bond.
Repeat that.
A girl who's quote unquote neurodivergent and a baby driver have cancer and trauma bond.
Oh, Thelma and Louise.
Okay. All right. Movie number two. Scrooge makes orphan's life worse after losing family in a house fire.
Repeat that, please.
Scrooge makes orphan's life worse after losing family in a house fire.
This is so hard right now. Oh my god, this is the worst.
I will give you a hint. I will say.
Thank you.
When I say Scrooge, I don't necessarily mean specifically Scrooge.
No, you don't mean Ebenezer.
I mean like somebody who played as Scrooge.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Scrooge makes orphan's life worse after losing family in a house fire.
It's got to be Dark Knight Rises.
All right. Okay. All right. Movie number three. A guy who has whip obsession tries to find an object that turns you into liquid.
Oh, Indiana Jones.
Which one?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
All right. Movie number four. Green Goblin and a sparkly vampire that are trapped on an island, but they are down bad for some tail.
Oh, God.
Mermaid tail.
Yeah, no, the lighthouse. The lighthouse.
Nice. All right.
Oh, I'm so confident in that one. That's a good.
All right. Final movie. Nick Cannon in a marching band.
The drumline.
All right. Those are the five movies. So movie number one, the synopsis was a girl who's neurodivergent and a baby driver have cancer and trauma bond. You said Thelma and Louise.
Yes.
It was Fault in Our Stars. I said have, because I went and a baby driver because the guy who plays
actor, yeah, actress, yeah that was
there
good.
We go. There we go.
I'm getting it now.
You're getting it.
This is fun.
All right, second movie. Scrooge makes orphan's life worse after losing family in a house fire. You said, Dark Knight Rises. It was Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh God damn it, Jim Carrey. I was like, is Michael Caine or Jim Carrey? And I couldn't remember.
Oh my gosh. All right. Third movie, guy who has a whip obsession, tries to find an object that turns you into liquid. You were right. It says Raiders of the Lost Ark. And you were right for the final two. That is 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. Woo! And for the synopsis, yeah, too, the guys, or synopsi, what's the plural for synopsis? Synopsis. Hey,
so that's how we're going to do this from now on.
Yeah.
That's way better. That's just so much fun.
Take the freaking synopsis and just roll with the punches, make it into a joke.
I love it. I love it.
Oh my gosh. That's good. All right. Well, now it's time for
a Screen Bros exclusive, everyone. We have a new way we're ending this podcast. That is how it's going to go from now.
I think that's the way to do it. And then we'll have some other games. We'll have some other games. We'll switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll add some stuff. Yeah.
Now time to figure out what our next movie is. Josh, what's your movie that we're watching?
You go first.
You're going to let me go first? Oh, you want.
Because honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I honestly haven't thought about it.
Oh, shoot. You could use that movie that mom texted us.
Yeah, no, I got it. Yep. You're right. No,
she told me.
Elias.
Let's go.
Yeah. Which one do you want, Mom or Elias? Go.
Let's go Elias this time. I want him to redeem himself, I swear.
I don't know if it's going to be redemption, but we'll see.
All right. Well, this is going to be interesting. So, everybody on write this
down to prepare myself. Hold on.
If you have seen the episode where we talk about eight-legged freaks, we briefly mentioned that Josh here has arachnophobia. And I've recently found a movie that if you've seen the original movie Arachnophobia, basically this movie makes it look like child's play. The movie that I am recommending is called Infested. It is a French horror movie.
Damn it. Really?
It's about spiders and you have to read.
I mean, I don't mind reading, but the spiders and reading.
Oh, and I'm not going to say.
That's what it's called. Infected.
Infested.
Infested?
Yep.
Is that in French?
Yeah, you can type in infested in, Amazon and you'll find it. The thumbnail is a dude looking up screaming with spiders all over his face. So you'll find it.
Wonderful.
All right. That's my movie. What's your movie?
I've got it. Ready?
All right. Let's hear it.
This next one is starring the wonderful Denise Richards. Tammy and the T-Rex is what it's called.
Man, what the hell?
Hey, you picked Elias versus mom.
What is wrong with Elias?
Oh no, it's great. I know this movie versus the other one he recommended, but body muscle builder.
Yeah.
I am aware of this movie.
Okay.
And it's something.
Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yep.
All right, that's definitely a movie I'm watching with Daniel. I'm gonna force him to
Want to watch something else.
Yeah. All right. Well, shoot. All right. Next episode is Tammy and the T-Rex and Infested.
And Infested or Infected?
Infested.
Okay. Just make sure I got it. Like, it's French.
And it's French.
It's got spiders.
And it's got spiders.
Thanks a lot.
You're going to enjoy it. I will say there are some scenes where I was sitting there thinking that something was crawling on me myself. I got the phantom crawls. So
great.
Yeah.
Great.
That's what you get for recommending Bloody Butt. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, we got through it though.
We got through it.
It was an hour and 4 minutes.
Just think about it this way. It's an hour and 45 minutes of you suffering. You'll get through it.
Hey, the body muscle builder was only an hour and 4 minutes. So,
hey, what's an extra?
Even though it felt like an hour and a half.
It really did feel like an hour and a half. But hey, this one, I will say, yeah, it makes arachnophobia look like nothing.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Even Mother said, that's worse.
Did you just refer to our mom as Mother?
Okay. Madre. Yeah. Madre said, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. Like, ma. Like,
Matt.
Mother. It sounds very Mike Pence-ish, and I
okay. threw me off for a second. So am I just
going, sorry, like, it threw me off.
Going full on, off. Just like Hanoush, just mother.
Mother.
Oh.
Hanoush.
We will not stop talking about Hanoush. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to this episode. We'll catch you guys in the next one. Please make sure to subscribe, share, follow, check out our other episodes. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
Yes. Make sure you watch Infested.
Make sure to watch Infested and Tammy and the T-Rex if you want to go along with this. I don't know.
It makes sense when you listen to the episode. That's the whole point. That I tell you this, you can watch
so
it.
So you can expand your movie.
Yes, and then we don't have to play clips, for you. We can just kind of describe it. And it
makes sense. So then we can just
watch those two.
So instead of spending most of the time trying to explain what's going on, we could just make jokes about the whole entire thing, and then
that would be wonderful.
Explain our perception of it as two meatled brain movie lovers. Yep. All right. Wow. Voice cracked.
Okay.
All right.
Nice. All right, everyone.
Bye. All right.